The title of today's message is Vessels of Strength. Vessels of Strength. And I want to just review just a little bit from last week. We were talking about the dangerous life of Mary. And when we think of a lady of strength, we think of Mary. We talked about the fact that so many of the scenes that we see at Christmas are angelic and just so peaceful. But Mary's assignment was one that placed her life in danger, and it was one that demanded strength to endure and to complete. And Mary had this mindset that we'll see in Scripture today. It's not about what my will is and what my dreams are. It's about what your dreams are for me, God. And if we have our Bibles today, we go to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And we're going to read through verse 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name," and let's say that together, "Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." The dreams of the hearts of the Jew, there's a Messiah promised. A king that will be eternal, that is coming to set things right, to align things the way the promise has said. And that king, that Messiah, came through the precious life of Mary. Mary was the chosen human vessel that gave Jesus to the earth. We talked about that last week, that there was no other human that God chose to say, "You will be the one that will usher the presence of Christ, the Messiah, upon this earth. You are the chosen one that will form within your body the eternal King of Israel, Jesus." She was truly blessed with this call. But you know, she's not alone in the call of ushering the presence of Jesus to this earth. We are called to usher the presence of Jesus to others in this fallen world. This call that we have to make sure that this land that is known to be without the light, we are the ones that Jesus has said, "Your call is to bring the presence of Christ into this world." And what does that look like? It begins first in the world of our heart, inside us, making sure that we are connected with the power of God, the Holy Spirit within. But it doesn't stop there. It moves forward to our families. And from our family, we make sure the presence of God is dwelling in the house of God, the gathering, our church family. And then beyond that, wherever God has seated our lives, at work, in our neighborhoods, in our community, we are called to usher the presence of Jesus in each of those settings. And by the mercy of God that fell on Mary, that divine appointment to say, now is the day of the arrival of the Messiah. Divine appointment came to Mary, and divine appointments will come to us. But divine appointments do not, let me put it this way. Divine appointments must be recognized to be something that is lived out in our lives. You are here as one who ushers the presence of Christ into the hearts of others. So look for those opportunities beyond the obvious of our heart, our family, our church family, our community, our circle of influence reaches even further through those divine appointments that God gives. See, you, like Mary, are a chosen vessel. We see in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, more of the story is revealed. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? Now notice something very important here about Mary's response. It wasn't, this can't be. It was, how will this be? Right now, Mary could have looked at the situation and said, that is impossible. That is not something that I wish to endeavor. But it wasn't, it will not be. It was, how will this be? And then we go further in verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So much of our journey on this life is revealed right here in this verse. If there is going to be spiritual life within us, so much of what verse 35 says must be evident in our lives. And it's a roadmap of how God wishes to function in our lives. Notice again, how will this be? It wasn't, this can't be, how will this be? And the answer is this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And then the power of the Most High will overshadow you. How? The Holy Spirit. Where? Within you. The journey of faith, void of the expression of how, God, will you operate in my life, is the journey that is solo and just self-led. But the journey of faith that looks for the opportunities that God has given, that see ourselves as vessels of more than just our attitude or more than just what our feelings are. We are vessels filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit did not come to be dormant in our lives, but He came to be active in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not be vessels of strength. We see this again. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's a very interesting term or word there, overshadow. God does not call us to rely on our own strength. You know, many times in faith, we can get pumped up in our own transformation. And we can get our eyes on ourselves and our own faith rather than the faith of God that lives in us. And what is really meant by overshadow you? We know this term. This term overshadow means to be more important or significantly, to be more important or significant by comparison. Don't what? Don't overshine. Don't outshine me. Don't overshadow me. We've heard those terms. But basically what is being said is that in our lives, there must be the power of God that reigns over the strength and the power of self. This would not be accomplished in the strength of Mary, would it? But it would be accomplished by the strength of God that would overshadow Mary. Overshadow carries this term as well, to rise above. And how can we journey in a real faith where God never rises above our own will and our own way? Faith is the opposite of that. It's my will and my way bows down to the will and the way of the Lord. It's another term that comes into mind about overshadowing. It's eclipsing. You remember the amazing eclipse that we went through a number of years back, where the sun was totally blacked out here in South Carolina. Amazing event. Never will forget that. But what God is saying, as much as we want to take control, we must be overshadowed by his power for his power to live in us. And it's not easy, because self wants to establish itself time and time again. Again, to rise above, to eclipse, to take precedence over what my will is. To be more significant than my wants and my way. See, the risk of being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God, it is a risk. If we want strength, we must be willing, as we talked about last week, to risk. And when it comes to growing in God, we must allow a risk to occur. And that risk is this: to die to our flesh daily, to pick up the crosses that Christ will set before us so that we will gain what he has placed us here on this earth to gain, the risk of strength. The weightlifter knows when he kneels down to grab that weight, there's a risk involved. But if he follows through and moves in the motion of skill, he will gain in tremendous strength because of that. And then Mary, this miraculous conception, it had to be so confusing to her, because she would lean on her own understanding through this. And how guilty are we when God has assigned us his will and we try to figure it out in our own logic, in our own understanding, and then we get bogged down. We can't do that. And God is so loving that he gives encouragement to guide us through. And look at the encouragement that he gave Mary. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 1. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, John the Baptist. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You think Mary had heard that description before? Do you think Mary had understood that description before of her relative Elizabeth? Elizabeth is of old age. She has not had children. She will never have children. However, God had a different plan. And so when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, what she saw were the signs of God's miraculous work within her aging relative, Elizabeth. 6 months, you begin to show a little bit, right? And then the word of encouragement goes further. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. That's worthy of celebration. For nothing will be impossible with God. If we ever forget that, then we live within the dimensions of humanity and we exit the dimensions of God. But that's not why we're called to serve God, to live within the limitations of this vessel. Those vessels that live within the limitation of their own strength cannot follow the call that God has upon them. And I know the feeling. Man, it's so easy to rely on what I can see and what I can figure out in my mind. But God wants us to remember that nothing will be impossible with God. Imagine the journey of Mary as she began to see the signs of life within her, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that was the overshadowing of God, the Holy Spirit. See, I think you've been there before. I think you've looked at the reality of your dimensions, and you have come to a place to realize where you are at with God is not in and of yourself. It is miraculous. It is something that God did. As I've shared with you before, and I think we talked about it last week, the chosen is totally up to God. And if we are desiring a hunger and a thirst for God, that is a miracle in and of itself. And it is not something that we've earned. It is something that God has placed upon us. And we must thank Him that we want to follow His will. Thank you, Lord. Nothing will be impossible with God. And then verse 38. Mary's response. Does it matter what we say? Does it? Does it matter where our feet walk? It matters. And here Mary establishes in word and follows through with deed. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me. There are people right now that have journeyed year after year after year after year and never said, "Let it be, God." Death is near, yet they've never said, "Let it be, God." It's always my way. It's the way I perceive it. When all along God wanted to instill strength within their vessel, but they could not let go and let it be what God desires. Why? Because I think sometimes we feel we have a better way. Our way will benefit us greater. No. Nothing benefits greater than accepting what God has called us to be. Life begins when we say unto God, "Let it be to me according to your word, Lord Jesus." And then we talked about this last week. Did Mary have a choice? And we established clearly she's human. She had free will. She could have said, "Gabriel, no, thank you. You can tell God, no, thank you." But that wasn't her mentality. She was what? A servant of the Lord. A servant of the Lord. See, we have a choice to walk in the will of God or to walk away. I want to show y'all a vessel that has meant a lot to me over the years. Has anyone ever seen a vessel like this before? Now, let me tell you a little bit of the history of this vessel. This one identical to it, because my mom and dad had one and my grandmother had one just like this. And it sat on top of the refrigerator in my grandmother's kitchen. And inside it were amazing things. And as a kid, I would go over to my grandmother's house, and she cooks phenomenal. And I knew the macaroni and cheese was going to be dynamite. I knew that the collard greens and rice were going to be really good, and her biscuits would melt in your mouth. And then Grandmama, when she made that sweet tea, she didn't make it just to have like a translucent appearance. It was like looking through a bottle of log cabin syrup. It was so sweet. Yet, even as I ate, I knew that was above, sitting on top of the refrigerator, and I couldn't wait to open that vessel. It's funny, I wondered over the years, because my folks had one, and then I started thinking, this is aging me really bad. Greenback stamps. Does anybody remember greenback stamps? I guarantee you this was probably purchased with greenback stamps. But I loved this vessel. Now, let me look at this a minute. Now, inside this vessel, people getting thinking about Grandmama's house, right? Inside this vessel, I didn't determine what was inside this vessel. And I called my grandmama, Mommy, precious, precious lady. Miss her, miss my grandmama, my mommy. She chose what would live inside there. She made the choice of what stayed inside this vessel. See, to risk or reject what lives inside us. To have the Holy Spirit live in us in the Lordship of Christ, in the leadership of Christ, is a risk. Because it will cost us our flesh, and we must die to self. But as we talked about last week, risk is not a bad thing. Risk represents an opportunity. If we do not risk, the opportunities are pushed aside. Also, risk opens up the endless possibilities. And one of the most powerful realities of risking is an openness of heart. If we just close in and say, no, I can't, we will never see the fruit of what risking can bring to us. Because the walk of faith is a trust in God, and it's a risk to what we have grown accustomed to. We have gotten used to being the one in control of our heart and in control of what lives in this vessel. But we see this. Mary's words revealed her heart. Assignment from God, I am the servant of the Lord. Her words declared the direction where her steps would go. I am not a servant of self, I am a servant of the Lord. And then another powerful response, the words of her heart reveal this, let it be to me according to your word. If we started our day believing, God, let what happens in this life be according to what your word says, then the strength that you have for me will live in amazing ways. That vessel will be filled with what your heart desires. Mary chose the risk of strength. Mary will be forever known as a servant of strength. And you know, right now, let this vessel represent the vessel that God has given you. And know this, that each of us here have a choice of what's going to live within. Every day, the vessel that God has given us, the contents of that vessel are in our hands. Because God will not take away our will. I want you, if we can, let's look here at a scripture that I don't have up here, but it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And this is one of the things that we've learned through our devotion. We've been going through a devotion called Advent, a church community devotion, a place where we can stay gathered and encouraging one another. And the topic for, I think it was 2 days ago, was called Christmas Baking. And it talked about why do we bake so much at Christmas. And it was encouraging. But it brought out this wonderful description of the aroma of God. The aroma of God. And it listed 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. It stated, or it quoted that verse, speaking to the church, "For we are the aroma of Christ. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are saved." So when we come in the gathering, when we encounter each other, we usher in the aroma of God with us. But it goes further than that. Because God put us here not just for us, did he? "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So God is saying, you're here to bring my aroma to the ones that are not following my will, to the ones that are turning away from me. You are to represent me, my aroma. And something God laid on my heart, and I'm just going to read it. The aroma of God, the awareness of his presence. The word aroma means a persuasive characteristic or quality. A spice that is clearly recognizable. The grace and mercy of God allows us the ability to sense his presence and leading in our lives. Followers of Christ are drawn to his aroma. They seek to be filled with the spice of his life within their hearts. Aroma matters, doesn't it? Aroma tells us what's in the room. That was one of my memories at Grandmama's house. I knew the aroma of what lived in here. And I still remember she had two choices, like two favorites. When I would go and open this up, just even that sound brings back memories and excitement. And when I would open it, I said, "Grandma, can I have some cookies?" She said, "You didn't have enough biscuits, boy." And I said, she would feed you. She didn't care about the waistline. She would feed you. And when I would open it up, the aroma just, and I still smell it right now. Ooh, it was a good memory. But I'm going to show you what one of her favorites was. And this is probably not the same brand, but this was one of her favorites. The wafers, the sugar wafers. And I can still smell them. I hadn't had one in a long time, but I can still smell them. And when I would open that up, it would just go into my nostrils, into my mind, into my excitement, and then it went into my mouth. Who remembers the wafers? Yeah, you remember the wafers, yeah. And And nowadays, this is the forerunner to Kit Kat, right? Cam, come on up here and take that. And take that. There you go, man. There you go, Cam. You're welcome. But I remember sometimes I would open it. You hear that sound? Oof. I would open it, and Grandmama had a mixture in there. And I tried to find the other ones. I couldn't find them. They were some kind of coconut oatmeal kind of cookie. It was an old-style cookie. And it would be blended with the smell of the sugar wafers. And I still, to this day, I can remember the aroma. We have a choice of what will live within. We have a choice of the aroma that will prevail within us. And not only that, we have a promise. And I want to touch on this. You have a promised aroma to live within you. You have a promised strength to live within you. And any substitute is not the will of God. Let's look at that promise. On one occasion, while he was eating, Jesus was eating with his disciples. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. This is after he had resurrected. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about in my ministry and my walk upon this earth. So don't step out, don't enter ministry until the promise comes. And then we see in verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You, O vessel, will be saturated, filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So you can get your plans together. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you, you wait until the promise comes. Right now in our lives, whatever our agenda is, whatever our will is, we must always wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives, or we're just wasting our time. And then in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be the aroma of God for more than just yourself. You will be filled with power so that others can truly know the essence and the spice of who I am. You will not be filled with the identifying odor of self. You will be identified with the odor or the aroma of Almighty God. Isn't that promising? Isn't that promising? How does that happen? When we accept the fact that we were born with a bad aroma, that fallen nature, no matter how much, forgive me, no matter how much cologne, high karate, no matter how much brute you put on it, it's still going to be a challenge to endure. No matter what we do to cover it up is not enough. Because what God wants is a dying to that old nature so that his Holy Spirit can live in us and give us a new heart, a new spirit that is alive. And in that, when we are determined that he lives in us, in essence, what we're doing is eating the bread of life and letting the bread of life fill us day in and day out. The words of Jesus, the obedience to the power that he has placed within us, the living bread, the bread of life being alive in us. You know, I'm going to ask Danae, would you mind coming, just standing right here real quick? I'm going to ask a very personal question. Dow, do you, I know you cook. I know you cook a lot. Have you ever baked bread in the house? Yeah? But you bake stuff in the house. And what's some of the favorite things that your mom bakes?
Cakes.
Cakes and all kinds of. And what's one of your favorite meals that she makes?
Chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice. And you know that aroma very, very well. Well, I want you to tell me if this is a good aroma or a bad aroma. Put your nose close. Is that not amazing?
Good.
It's amazing because inside this, very obvious. Are you still smelling in there? The bread of life living within us transforms the aroma that we bring to others. Thank you. Daily, the deposit of the bread of life must be renewed in us. For the essence of God to be filled not only for our enjoyment and our strength, but for others to experience. As Mary was called to usher the presence of Christ to this earth, and she faithfully did, we are called to usher the presence of Christ to all those that are around us. That is the light and the salt that Christ has asked the church to present. I'm going to ask if we can bow in prayer this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, the one that we place our whole trust in, the one that was so faithful to send his son Jesus so that life-giving aroma would not only be something that would go within our hearts and change who we are, but would be expressed, Lord, to those around us. And we say, and if we can stand to our feet this morning, if you're able to do that, we call out for the presence of Christ to live in his fullness within us right now. If that's in your heart, say, Lord, pour forth your Holy Spirit in fresh and new measure within me. Pour forth, Lord, the Holy Ghost that will overcome all things that war against my mind and against my soul and that try to take away my strength. An old vessel of God, may the presence of God be ushered into our family. If that's in your heart today, say, God, show me how to bring your aroma to my family in greater measure in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up every family right now. Come, Lord Jesus, and let your aroma be so evident in the name of Jesus.